Right, good day and welcome to yet another edition of The Citizen Talk. This is where we invite different people to come and unpack some of the most difficult topics that are there in the country. I was saying the other day to somebody that, you know, apart from the politics, you know, involving the ANC building up to its elective conference, one of the things that's had people talking a lot, it's been the weather. And I thought, no, let's rope in a forecaster, you know, to come and explain to us, unpack, you know, some of the most difficult terms that we keep on hearing about, you know, things like, you know, when you talk about weather systems, your El Ninos of this world, La Nina, what does those things mean? We've decided to go and get an expert in the field to come and help us unpack those issues. And folks, let me welcome senior forecaster at the South African Weather Service. But she will tell me, she'll correct me if I've got the title wrong. Her name is Dr. Christine Engelbrecht. Doc, good morning and welcome to The Citizen. I see you nodding your head then said, no, that's not my correct title. Feel free to correct me.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you very much for the invitation to come and join you on this podcast. Yes, indeed. I'm when you mentioned the senior forecaster, that are usually our short-term forecasters working in the National Forecasting Office. Mm-hmm. I'm actually working in the research department of the South African Weather Service as a long-term forecaster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a distinguishment between the two.
Yeah.
But in my younger days, I was indeed a weather forecaster.
We all have to start somewhere, right? But thank you so much, Doc, for gracing our studios with your presence. Really, really appreciate it. Like I said in my introduction, a lot of people have been, you know, talking about the weather. You know, so much rain. Perhaps let's start off with, you know, the first question. Is it usual for South Africa to be getting rainfall and that much rainfall at this time?
Well, if we think now, we're in November, mid-November. So usually our summer season starts in October. By November, usually our certain kind of weather systems that really brings like general kind of rain conditions over the country starts to establish itself. In fact, the month of November is the month with the highest frequency of a certain weather system called the tropical temperate trough.
Mm.
And that means where moisture from the tropics flows southwards in over the southern African region, and it actually connect with weather systems, typically our kind of frontal systems, but not as strong as one experienced during the winter time.
Mm.
You know, that moves from the west to the east to the south of the country. So that kind of interaction between the tropics and areas further south is actually very common for this time of year. However, we did indeed experience quite a lot of rain during this, let's say, the first half of November so far. If I just look at rainfall figures for the first 10 days in November, parts of Northwest and the Free State, more or less the eastern parts of those provinces, received up to 200 millimeters in the first 10 days of November. So that is quite a lot of rain.
Mm.
Basically, the whole of the eastern part of the country, large areas received up to 100 millimeters.
Sure.
That is now with the exception of the far northeastern parts, if we think in terms of the eastern parts of the country.
Mm.
So this kind of system's not unusual for this time of year, but the amount of rainfall associated with the systems was actually quite a lot.
Yeah, and I'm sure somebody who will be listening might ask also, you know, when last did we have so much rainfall?
Well, if you think now, we are now in a third consecutive La Nina season.
Yeah.
Where are we now? 2022-23 season.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, you know, the human mind is funny. We only tend to remember what is happening right now. If we think back just of the previous two seasons, we actually also had really
a lot of
rain.
Mm.
Last summer, we also had the situation over, let's say, the western part of the maize regions where waterlogged conditions occurred. Mm. Farmers couldn't get into their lands.
Yeah.
So
including the floods as well, right? KZN.
That was in April this year. So that's a little bit of a different situation than, let's say, our typical summer weather. That was a specific weather system that has a tendency to occur during the transitional seasons. You know, typically, let's say, the switch from summer to winter, our spring and autumn seasons.
Yes.
So that was a cut-off low system. A specific one intense event. Mm. What we had now in, after the rainy season started, and it started more or less around about between the 18th and 20th of October, our first rain started. After an initial start slow to the season, the rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what is quite noticeable of our current rainfall season as the number of consecutive rainy days.
Yes.
I mean, that is that
that's quite
But we had such a spell during our previous two wet summers as So that is the kind of weather pattern that can occur during wet season.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Doc. And you also mentioned that we are in our third consecutive La Nina, season. Is it usual for it to stay or remain in progress for this long?
Not really. This is only the third time that three consecutive La Nina seasons occurred since 1950.
Wow.
So this is quite rare.
Yeah.
But it's not that it doesn't happen. But I mean, last, when one usually starts to do the prediction of the state of, the sea surface temperatures over the Pacific Ocean, when the indications was for a third consecutive La Nina season, one starts to get concerned and one starts to think, shoo, is this going to be right? But this one indeed turned out to be a correct forecast.
Yeah.
And it's expected to last through our whole summer period.
Wow.
We're only expecting neutral conditions towards our autumn season.
So there's still a lot of rain on the way.
That is what is predicted. Enhanced chances for above normal rainfall over most of the summer rainfall areas. Actually, over most of the country.
Sure.
For the remainder of our summer.
And I think also the good thing that's come out of this, rainfall period so far is that, a drought-stricken province like your Eastern Cape, they've also been getting quite some rain in recent times.
Yeah, that's quite a complex situation that's going on over there.
Mm.
The eastern parts of the Eastern Cape did indeed receive good rainfall.
Yeah.
So, based on our weather station data and talking to farmers and people with their local rainfall gauges, that have farmed for many, many decades on in certain areas that I've had personal communication with,
they
said, yes, this is one of the best rainy seasons they had in many, many years.
Wow.
But we think of the Eastern Cape as just the one region, but actually the Eastern Cape is so diverse. I mean, actually we've got three different rainfall regions that comes together in the Eastern Cape.
Wow. Interesting.
So that is the parts where the catchment regions for the important dams, like the Kuga Dam, that provides rainfall to Gqeberha. Those regions still hasn't really received enough rainfall to really have a positive impact that one can think, okay, maybe this really challenging period of rainfall deficits, one can see some relief. I don't think there's some relief yet. In terms of the felt conditions, the areas are green at the moment for most of the parts. But there's still a lack of rainfall in terms of the storage of rainfall.
Yeah.
So I think the kind of rainfall events, especially in the areas and close surroundings of Kebega, didn't really have the kind of downpours that we are used to now here in Gauteng.
Mm.
So it means the runoff is not sufficient to fill the dams. So, but they did indeed have better rainfall conditions compared to the previous years.
Yes.
Especially during the month of August.
Yeah.
They had quite good rainfall.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose also many people should not be surprised by this kind of rain that we've been getting. In fact, the South African Weather Service did actually, you know, issue a notice to say there will be, you know, above normal rainfall during the spring, you know, summer seasons. And that's exactly what we're getting, right?
Yes, at the moment, at the moment, it seems like the forecast gave us good guidance on what to expect. I must admit, in the beginning, I was a bit worried when the rainfall season started off slow. But it seems like it's on track.
Wow.
So, but of course, a good in-depth evaluation will need to be performed at the end of season. One must be really accurate, honest when one evaluates what's unforecast.
Absolutely. And I mean, one other question that's on many people's minds, Doc, is we are fast approaching the festive season. You know, people would want to be traveling to different holiday destinations. Which, let's focus on the provinces where, you know, rainfall is indeed expected and even that above normal rainfall.
Okay, so most people will head to the coastal regions,
yes.
Okay, so if we start now with the main kind of beach holiday destinations, the KwaZulu-Natal coast, those are the areas that is in for above normal rainfall forecast. Mm. So for people going there, I think, again, you know, even now that we think in terms of the seasonal forecast, I think it the short range weather forecast, you know, that is issued on a daily basis will be very important for them, especially if there is some weather expected that can have some high impacts. Then your short range weather forecast, listening to your radio, using your weather apps, can really help you to be aware of whether there is maybe a situation of you know, rainy conditions that can impact have an impact. The Eastern Cape coastal regions at this stage, there's also a forecast for above normal rainfall, but I must say it's it is the chances there is not as high for as further east.
Yes.
Okay, and then I think maybe the Western Cape province coastal regions should be in for quite a nice holiday weather.
No, absolutely. And I mean, still talking about the rain or rainfall areas, we know that the Western Cape, for an example, they get most of their rainfall during the winter season, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And the Eastern Cape, it can happen at any time.
It can basically, especially the western parts of the Eastern Cape's coastal regions and the adjacent interior, it can basically happen any time.
Yeah.
But the interior regions of the Eastern Cape and the eastern parts of the Eastern Cape are part of our summer rainfall region. Something I must just maybe mention when you asked about holiday destinations.
Yeah.
Many people are also going to inland holiday destinations. So, and I think if we think now in terms of the most of our dam levels are actually
very, very high. Yeah.
Very, very high, basically close to 100% full capacity. So I think maybe the inland holiday destination areas, you know, one tend to think it's not always a problem, but I think that those people must also be aware of their surroundings. And if it rains, you know, the soil is really saturated, so water can just run.
Wow.
So that is something to be aware of.
It's actually remind me of something. Somebody posted a picture on Twitter yesterday from about the Vaal Dam, saying, you know what, it's actually risen to above 100% full. It's about 106, if I'm not mistaken. And you could see even where the water levels is not far from his property to say, if we can get another round of the same kind of rainfall that we've been getting, we could be talking something else.
No, sir. And there will be release of water, things like that. So downstream areas are places to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
To be cautious.
Yeah. Now, one thing, Doc, that I've also been taking notice of is, you know, our daytime temperatures or maximum temperatures. If one just goes back to the previous summer season where it was more of a wet one, but we also saw temperatures not being that high, you know, maximums. And when one looks at, you know, this past few days of heavy downpours, I don't know, I also sort of saw or experienced that it looks like the temperatures also are also taking time to warm up, you know, as opposed to, you know, previous seasons where one would just have a normal rainfall.
Of course, when we do have cloud cover and rainy conditions, you know, just the impact of the sun that is not directly, reaching the ground, then immediately our maximum temperatures are not as high.
Yeah.
But the moment the clouds, make way again for the sun to reach the ground, then it can actually heat up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So during a spell like this, a rainy spell, of course, then the maximum temperatures are lower.
Yeah.
And indeed, our seasonal forecast is also indicating for large parts of the summer rainfall areas to have below normal maximum temperatures.
Wow.
So it doesn't mean it's going to be cold, but it is expected to be cooler than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for instance, when we look at the province like Gauteng, for instance, Joburg, let's say we're used to having maximums to go up to, 32, 33. What can we then expect, you know? I'm just asking it, you know, just so that the listener can also prepare themselves, you know,
Okay. Well, typically in a day when most of the day is cloudy and it's rainy, then it can, then it can be below 20 degrees Celsius. Yeah. Then a place like Johannesburg can be, let's say, 17 degrees Celsius, more or less, but the moment the cloud makes way for the sun, then it heats up quickly. So actually, one can also be, have cloud most of the day, and then there's just a break of cloud.
Yeah.
Then it can quickly jump into the mid-20s and get cooler again as the rain comes in again.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, we have already forgotten about the heat wave we had.
Yeah.
At the start of
yeah, it was
during our spring.
Yeah.
This year. So
because I had thought that, I thought we are still in the La Nina phase, you know, has El Nino come back, you know, what was happening?
I think it was just a combination of the slighter, or the absence of cloud and cloud development at the start of during spring and the start of the summer season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did have a kind of weather system that caused air that is like descending over the country instead of our typical thunderstorm clouds that start to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Just a combination of that descending air that contributed to the high maximum temperatures that we experienced, and also, you know, the number of consecutive days where that system was in place, weather system. So, we've already forgotten about that.
Yeah.
You know, that rainy conditions.
You actually took me back to, I think it was around 2015, 2016, when we had that El Nino, you know, phase in place, which of course brought along a lot of, a series of heat waves, right? Let's just for the benefit of our listeners, you know, let's explain, you know, the difference between those two weather, you know, systems, El Nino and La Nina.
Okay. So El Nino is as all the listeners now will know, is usually associated with warmer and drier conditions over the southern African region, and La Nina with wetter and cooler conditions. But those weather phenomena is actually taking, or is actually characterized by, if we think of El Nino, warmer than normal temperatures over the central Pacific ocean. So when the temperatures, sea surface temperatures over those central equatorial Pacific regions are warmer than normal, then it influences weather patterns globally. And over South Africa, it is then experienced as drier and warmer conditions most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
For La Nina conditions, the opposite is true. Then those sea surface temperatures are cooler than normal, and then it manifests in our weather over the Southern African region that is more conducive to rainy and cooler conditions. So, and typically, you know, as we've seen now that we are in our third consecutive La Nina season, so those kind of weather phenomena, it's not something that just lasts a few days or a month or two. It is usually, it can be for, you know, for months, seasons. And in this case, a third consecutive La Nina. So within that broader general climate phenomenon, the daily weather patterns over the South African region specifically is of such a nature that it is conducive during the La Nina states where we have a higher frequency of rain-producing weather systems, bringing on cloud cover, you know, aiding to cooler conditions being experienced on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, growing up, there's always been that talk of, you know, once you have a very wet summer season, going into winter, there's that likelihood that the winter season might be cold. Is that the right way of, I don't know, that's how, you know, you grew up and being told that no, once the, because the earth would still be very wet, you know, and therefore.
I wish it was as straightforward as that. Unfortunately, the climate system is much more complex.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, I don't think that that holds to be true all of the time.
No, interesting times indeed. So, now, moving forward again, and perhaps while we're still on this La Nina, you know, subject or phase, many people are asking, are you able to predict, you know, as to how long this will remain with us, this La Nina weather system?
Yeah, the most recent forecasts, and forecasts for the state of the sea surface temperatures is performed on a monthly basis. So currently it is expected or predicted to last till the end of our summer. I think by February, March, April. The current predictions indicate for La Nina to
neutralize.
To change to a neutral, what we refer to as an end zone neutral condition.
Oh.
So, yeah, so it's been for the remainder of our summer. So the current predictions, by autumn, winter, we are expected to be in a neutral phase. Again, so then the next question will be, you know, as we now proceed over the next few months to see what the indications are for our next summer, because remember El Nino and La Nina states usually affect the weather over the South African region during the summer times. There's not a convincing evidence for it to influence or impact our winter
season.
Yeah.
Interesting. Folks, you're still listening to the Citizen Talk. We are in conversation with an expert, weather expert, that's Dr. Christine Engelbrecht from the South African Weather Service, who's done or who's been doing a lot of research, you know, around the weather, you know, that we're experiencing in the country, different kinds of weather systems. We've been now talking about the La Nina system, and also she was trying to distinguish the difference between the La Nina and the El Nino system. And talking about the El Nino, remember the last time we had that system in place was around 2015, 2016, when we experienced a series of heat waves. Now, again, still on the topic of La Nina, Doc, going into the festive season, people would also be perhaps interested, and especially farmers as well, be interested in finding out, you know, in terms of the amount of rainfall, can we still expect, you know, anything between 80 to 200 millimeters?
Well, we are indeed predicting for the remainder of the summer rainfall season to have an enhanced likelihood for above normal rainfall. So if you want to talk millimeters, yes, yeah, then indeed. You know, but we must remember now that above normal rainfall season doesn't necessarily mean the same amount of millimeters.
Oh.
Let's say for area, we divide the country into two halves, more or less. Let's say between Kimberley and Bloemfontein,
yeah,
as a western part and an eastern part. So typically, our eastern part of the country, so let's say more or less, we simplify it now, all areas to the east of, let's say, Bloemfontein, typically receives more than 500 millimeters per year. Some areas, even up more than 2,000 millimeters a year, let's say in the areas of Mariepskop.
Yeah.
That is over the northeastern part of the country along the escarpment regions. So above normal rainfall, just within that eastern part of the country, the amount of millimeters that falls in the season can vary drastically. And then it can still be above normal rainfall for, let's say, Bloemfontein and Mariepskop.
Yeah.
So if we look at to the west, the western part of the country, I mean, there, some of the regions doesn't even receive 100 millimeters of rainfall a year. So to answer your question, yes, some areas will indeed receive more than 200 millimeters. If you want now to look at 200 millimeters.
Yeah, because that's...
Well, it's expected indeed to receive more than 200 millimeters for the remainder of the summer rainfall season.
Yeah.
But it's not true everywhere. One must look at the rainfall climatology as well. Now, that is how we measure also and determine whether a specific place is expected to have above or below normal rainfall, or whether at the end of the season, whether above or below normal rainfall indeed occurred.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. And another thing that's also, I don't know, I call it a confusion, you know, among many people that I've picked up over the many years. You know, people still struggle to understand what's the difference. Let's say, for instance, you're saying, here's the weather forecast for the coming weekend in Gauteng, and the chances of rainfall in Pretoria, for instance, would be 30%. You move to Joburg, it will show 60%, and, you know, they will normally see it on TV. Just explain to us that difference. When you say there is a 30% chance of showers and thunder showers, what exactly do you mean?
That usually refers to the, if you look at a certain area, let's say 30%, then 3 out of the 10 places within that area we expect to have rainfall. Whereas when it's 60%, 6 out of the 10 places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of, it refers to distribution.
Mm-hmm.
The aerial distribution of of the rainfall.
Rainfall, yeah. Because I think many people have always had that confusion to say, when you say 30%, perhaps that refers to the amount of rainfall or,
no,
yeah.
No. Now, to give an example also, why it can differ between Pretoria and Johannesburg.
Mm.
For the southern parts of Gauteng, where the Witwatersrand
yeah.
Region is located, you know, topography plays a huge role also in especially the formation of thunderstorms. So during certain circulation flow patterns, there will be, one will see that the thunderstorms will basically group themselves in the areas of higher topography. So they will then immediately be, if you're in that region, compared to the more flatter areas to the north of the Witwatersrand, let's say the Pretoria areas, or towards the Pretoria areas, then immediately there will just be a higher likelihood also, just because of the fact that the aerial distribution of the thunderstorms is larger compared to the areas where topography is not really aiding that, is providing that extra formation mechanism for the development of the convection.
Yeah. And still on the subject of, you know, adverse weather conditions, Doc, there's also been, and I don't know if it's something that we've seen in recent years, when people talk about a funnel, you know, developing, just explain to us when such a formation develops, or what makes that to develop, and, you know, and where does that lead us to?
That is, yes, that's a very difficult question. I think if we fully understand how funnel clouds develop, it will make forecasting of such events so much easier. At the moment, the understanding of exactly how that forms, except that it's associated with the kind of cloud that are referred to, or that is referred to as a supershell, the forecasting or the exact prediction of such the development of such a cloud from which a funnel can spawn is really extremely difficult. In fact, when one do issue such or expect such weather, one actually has the best chance to look at radar imagery. And the forecast of that kind of weather phenomena is in the order of minutes. So,
yeah,
it's really a complex formation mechanism that it's not that one will get a kind of a forecast for such a kind of weather phenomena for even a day ahead. It's really a matter of basically observing the characteristics of a cloud that is associated with that specific kind of weather phenomena, and that is in the order of minutes.
And tornadoes, is there a difference, you know, between?
Well, a funnel cloud, when it reaches the ground, and when it then qualifies certain wind speed criteria, then it can be classified as a tornado. But they must usually be real, either visible evidence or the kind of destruction that has been caused, if no one saw it, with a certain kind of destruction pattern before one can actually say, okay, this was indeed a tornado. But a funnel cloud, it doesn't necessarily reach the ground, but when it reaches the ground with a certain kind of intensity, it starts to get being classified as a tornado of certain strength.
Yeah. And how often do we experience tornadoes? I mean, the last time I remember, just a few years ago, and some of the areas in Gauteng which were really hit hard by those were, you know, the southern parts of Gauteng, your Annadales, Lanesia South. Even when you move into the Northwest Province, there were some, you know, areas in the Northwest Province which were also prone to tornadoes.
Yeah, I think that's also a difficult question in the sense of that one tends to observe more tornadoes in the regions of more where more people stays.
Oh.
And it's, yeah, just plain that there are more people to see it.
Mm.
And also I think in, you know, the since we all got cell phones that mm. take photos, it so it seems like it's occurring more frequently, but it's not necessarily the case. It's definitely observed more frequently.
Yeah.
There are some regions, you know, before, let's say, the cell phone era, one of the areas in the country where tornadoes seem to have occurred or quite frequently was also there in the Eastern Cape, in to the south of the Winterberg
yeah.
regions. Mm. Specifically, I think in the Bedford region, where tornadoes were spotted quite, let's say, it relatively quite frequently compared to other
parts of the country.
Other parts.
Mm.
So, but no, indeed, I think tornadoes occur much more, always observed much more frequently than we used to think. But yeah, I think it's the social media and that is really helping us to not miss it when it is occurring in an area
yeah.
where the population density is good.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, again, it's associated with the kind of cloud system that typically occurs over the summer rainfall areas. So the frequency, climatologically speaking, will be higher over the summer rainfall regions as compared to, let's say, the winter rainfall
mm-hmm.
region. But it's not impossible for such a thing to occur over the winter rainfall region. I think
wow.
a few years back, a tornado did occur actually in association with a cut-off low.
Hmm.
But that is, I think, nearly about, let's say, 20 years ago, more or less.
Yeah.
Can't remember exactly the year.
Mm.
And even over the ocean, sometimes people will see funnel clouds develop.
And still on the subject of clouds, I mean, we often hear also the term that's been used, a cloud burst. What happens when a cloud burst?
I think the cloud burst is associated or is referring actually also to the rain and the wind impact that comes with the thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not physically a cloud that bursts. It's more
yeah, yeah. I just thought we should get clarity on that. Yeah,
it's more the impact experience on the ground.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, folks, we had decided, no, let's change the topic for this week's conversation and, you know, move slightly away from the politics. Yes, you know, there's still going to be a lot of politics being discussed, but we just thought, man, let's have a chat with an expert in the field around, you know, the weather systems. Doc, before we let you go, is there anything that you feel is important that our listeners you know, should be aware of, especially now that, you know, the prognosis or projections for above normal rainfall still remain in place and thanks to the La Nina weather system?
Yeah, I think, of course, now the obvious thing is for people to be cautious,
mm-hmm.
You know, with a saturated ground. So it's... So that is something to be aware of. But I think we must also think not just about this season, but,
yeah.
you know, we did that. It's now the third consecutive La Nina season with good rainfall so far over the summer rainfall areas.
Mm.
However, we must not forget there are still some other parts of the country that is really struggling in terms of their water availability.
Yeah.
And not experiencing the kind of rainfall that is helping the dams to fill up. That is still a reality. We tend to forget about that.
Sure.
And also, I think, you know, for those that can actually also store water, if you can afford a JoJo tank, I think it's a good investment if we think in terms of maybe our next summer season. it can be a good investment. I think we must make best use of the rainfall that is falling now.
So
I think that is something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
We will most likely not have a good rainfall season again
next season.
Uh-huh. You know, then we will forget that we had this really good rainfall for the past three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But also they're still, especially there in the Eastern Cape, and it's quite a specific area in the Eastern Cape. I mean, the Eastern Cape's a big province. Mm. Most of the province now is looking good. But that smaller part of the province, let's say in the southwestern part of the province, it's really challenging conditions.
Sure.
So that is something not to forget.
Absolutely. And then just lastly, maybe on, you know, when one looks at KZN and also remembering that not so long ago there was floods, you know, people lost their homes and so forth. What are the chances of such a, you know, situation reoccurring again in KZN, you know, that would lead to flooding and so on? And I'm asking this because we keep on hearing also on a daily basis that, you know, issues of infrastructure still remain unresolved. You know, you still have stormwater drains that are blocked.
Yeah. Now, in a season like we are, or what has happened, let's say over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 or 3 weeks, and if we look at the prediction for the remainder of the season, that is then indeed still definitely, potential hazardous situation. I mean, the ground is really saturated.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even need to be such an extreme event as the one we experienced in April. Much lighter kind of rainfall events, you know, especially if the rainfall occurs
persistently
over just the 30 millimeters in a short amount of time, you know, can really cause runoff.
Sure.
So it doesn't need to be a kind of system of the extent of the one in April that can really, again, cause dangerous situations.
Yeah.
So I think, again, I think the message is be aware. If you don't have access to the warnings that gets issued, just look up into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know your area well.
Yeah.
And if something looks threatening to you, be aware and be safe.
And I suppose the same goes to people who are living in low-lying areas.
Yeah.
You know, keep listening to the radios, or, you know, keep following the weather service on their social media pages, you know, for in case there's a warning that's being issued out, right?
Yeah.
Doc, thank you so much for coming through this morning. We really, really appreciate your time. And we hope it's not the first nor the last time that we speak to you, because we find these discussions actually very educational. You know, there are so many terms. I always say to the people also that I've been a journalist who's been writing about weather stories, you know, for the past 20 years. And every time till today, when I speak to a forecaster, I learn something new. And I hope that's the case as well with our listeners who will be listening to this podcast.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And I also learn something new every day.
And I guess that's the beauty of your job, right? You don't become bored. There's always something new that you learn.
Always something new.
Okay. No, thank you so much, Doc, for coming through. Folks, that's what we had for you this week. We're looking at the weather projections, the rain that we've been getting. You know, what are the prognosis for the remainder of the summer season? And we thought let's invite, a researcher who is from the South African Weather Service, Dr. Christine Engelbrecht. And we say thank you so much once again to Doc for coming through. Till we meet again between now and then, you take good care of yourselves. Cheers.